The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Howling at the moon, a sudden urge to eat your cat, or an intense desire to mark your territory are common side effects of listening to and or being bitten by this show. Enjoy at your own risk.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast Esoterica, and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Welcome to episode 295 of your monthly paranormal variety show. And having you here is better than, well, certainly better than watching my Detroit Red Wings go on a freaking 7-game losing streak. Oh my God. Hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, they're out of that losing ways. Ugh, it's just not great. And having you here is also better than that first, you know, crocus that's going to pop up through the snowbank soon enough at Bowering Park. Why? Because you're wonderful, a masterpiece, beautifully made, important to people because you're important to me, highly favored by your creator, the law of averages and physics working in tandem. You, my friend, are an oddball, and on this show, your family, and we are one. I really hope the month of March has found you in good health and good fortune. And if it hasn't, just know I feel for you, man, and I'm feeling it too. This has been a real rough month on me and my family for many different extenuating circumstances. But there has to be some normalcy in my life. And for the last 10 years, talking to you guys every couple of weeks has been just that. So I'm very thankful to still be on the air 10 years later. The Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, 295 episodes of paranormal goodness still available for you to listen to really anywhere. Of course, the main aggregate, the main place to listen to the Odd Newfoundland, if you're not listening there now, is Podbean. I'd really appreciate if you're an iTunes listener or a Stitcher listener, or really just anywhere around the world. I'd really appreciate you jumping on Podbean and subscribing. You know, the more subscribers I have there, it pushes my numbers up and also helps me get more sponsors for the show. We still have Akusana sponsoring the show, of course, but we have kind of lost most of our other sponsors, our financial ones, over the years. They come and go, and it's kind of a natural thing. But anyway, if you like and subscribe on Podbean, it really does help out the show. Appreciate that. Just a little bit of house cleaning here. Hope you guys liked my last episode. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It was really, really fun. Really, really interesting guy talking about near-death experiences. If you guys are into that kind of thing, you should definitely check out the previous episode just under this one. Spring is just around the corner. Newfoundland just got pelted with 80-plus centimeters of snow. That's a lot of snow. And my back is shot. Oh, my God. You hear this sound? That weird sound, you hear that? What do you think that is? I'll tell you what it is. It's my stability ball. It's what I'm sitting on right now. So every now and then during this episode, you might hear a little sound. I got a frog in my throat. My voice is really, really, really weak today. And, you know, even though it's been 2 years since I've been in a hospital and was intubated, I still have weeks like this where I got to get a podcast out to you guys and my voice is just not as strong as what it usually is. I'll say that I'll do my best to get through this with you guys, but for the most part, it might not sound as crisp and clear as it normally would. I just let you guys know there's nothing wrong with your microphone. I just may or may not be dying. Ah, jeez. I was at the grocery store the other day, and there's people up ahead of me, and I looked in the carts, and I realized there's just, carts are only a few things in it. There's not a full cart of groceries anymore, and this is something I'm really noticing, that things are getting harder and harder for people financially, and You know, I'm not going to sit here and be all doom and gloom and tell you about my own financial troubles or anybody else's. That's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about the unknown, the unseen. But in a lot of ways, this podcast is about faith, knowing that something's there, even though there's no scientific evidence. I just want you guys to know, I think, and maybe it's just the season where Easter's coming upon us, but I think right now we're at Good Friday. I think right now we're seeing a lot of stuff going downhill and a lot of things falling apart. Maybe there's a lot of things falling apart in your world right now. Let me tell you something. For every Good Friday, there's an Easter Sunday, okay? My voice might suck today, but it's going to be better in a few weeks. I promise you that. And I'll have a new guest on the 1st of April. April Fools, won't be you this year. There will be a guest. I promise you that. That's 2 weeks from now. And another thing, I just want to say, like, please, guys, hang on. And if you need to talk to somebody about your issues or you're feeling like you're maybe having some not-so-nice thoughts about it all, because I can really relate to you right now. I really can. If you're feeling those feelings, please call suicide hotlines. Please do not suffer alone. And please listen to this show. I'm right here with you. There's 295 episodes, including this one, you guys to listen to. You don't have to be alone. All right? I just felt the need to say that right now. As I'm, not only did I see those, you know, shopping carts half empty and people not buying what they, people just can't afford to live here anymore is what it is. And I look at them and I see this defeated look in their eyes like I've never seen before. And I've never seen that in so many people in one location before in my entire life. The last time the world felt like this was shortly after 9/11. That's the last time I felt this level of dark and pain and suffering and sadness all around me. That's the last time I felt this. So I'm just saying this to you now. If you're in that dark space, you don't have to be there alone. And please reach out to somebody. Do not become a statistic. For every Good Friday, there's an Easter Sunday, okay? 295 episodes of the Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Still the king of paranormal podcasting, at least here in St. John's, Newfoundland. Often imitated and never duplicated. Okay, I'll be honest, it's been duplicated a couple of times, but you know what? It ain't me. You might duplicate parts of my name. You might duplicate the idea, the premise of the show. One thing you will never duplicate is John Mallard. You will never be me, and you will never have the body of work I put in here for the last 10 years with all my listeners all across the world. And I mean all across the world. Sri Lanka. There's 3 subscribers there. Dartmouth. 10 subscribers there. Czechoslovakia. There's like a bunch of these little sublet places that I can't even pronounce their names, but I know there's like at least 50 subscribers there. Like, these aren't big numbers of people, but it's worldwide reach. What dreams do you still have? What are you clinging to? Can you do me a favor? Can you keep clinging to them in the darkest of times? Because let me tell you, it's friggin' dark where I'm to right now. Really, really dark. But I got a feeling by the time I talk to you this time next month, all this is going to be turned around. Everything's going to be looking a lot better. Now, speaking of months, what if I told you last month, a lot of really weird shit went on. That's right. Time to switch gears and get into what y'all came here for. Not just me chatting and trotting. This is about the paranormal news.
Somewhere between the funnies and the obituaries. Is, oh yes, the paranormal news.
Deja vu. Who hasn't had a deja vu? I mean, I have them all the time. Sometimes I see the price of gas going up and down in Newfoundland, and I feel like I'm having them 4 or 5 times a day. But the reality of it is, there really is a phenomenon. The deja vu isn't just something someone came up with. Like, this is something that's been documented for hundreds of years. And people really do think this is the real deal. Like, there's something either psychic, some type of premonition, or maybe even some past lives that stuff going on there. I've even heard people compare it to maybe having a dream. You see something in a dream and it's so vividly similar to something in real life, you feel like you've been there before. So, you know, with so many accounts, it's only a matter of time before science says, okay, we got to stop in here, kind of step in here and see what we can figure out. Right? Moving from the paranormal to the scientific on the subject, earlier in the millennium, a scientist named Alan Brown decided to conduct a review of everything researchers had actually kind of gathered up until that point about deja vu. And much of what he could find had a paranormal flavor, so to speak, having to do with, you know, the supernatural. Things like past lives, psychic abilities, yada, yada, yada. But he also found studies that surveyed regular people about their deja vu experiences. From all these papers, Brown was able to glean some basic findings on the phenomenon. For example, he determined that roughly two-thirds of people experience this. I'm not surprised. He determined that the most common trigger is actually a scene or a place, and the next most common trigger is a conversation with people. He also reported on hints throughout a century or so of medical literature of a possible association with deja vu and some type of seizure activity in the brain, which I think is really, really interesting. Like, you have deja vu, like, are you actually having some kind of weird seizure? You know, they talk about, you know, what you're seeing in deja vu. Like, you could be walking by a place and then you see it and you're like, oh my God, I've been here before. And to investigate the idea in the laboratory, his team used virtual reality to place people within scenes. That way, we could manipulate the environments they found themselves in. Some scenes shared the same spatial layout, so it was kind of set up the same way, while others were completely distinct. As predicted, deja vu was more likely to happen when people were in a scene that contained the same spatial arrangement of elements as an earlier scene they viewed but didn't recall. This research suggests that one contributing factor to deja vu can be spatial, the resemblance of a new scene to one in the memory that fails to be consciously called to mind at that moment. However, it does not mean that spatial resemblance is the only cause of deja vu. Very likely, many factors can contribute to it. More research is underway. And I think there's definitely a paranormal slant to that, 100%. Like, embarrassingly so, because there are people who are, like, I've had it happen to me before. I don't even remember my dreams, so I don't even understand how the heck that could even happen. And you know what? Since I got into this kind of sciencey type mindset, looking at what science is finding about the paranormal stuff, I couldn't help but dig deeper and find some other things about unexplainable presences. Have you ever, like, had someone close to you pass away, and then, like, for like a week or so, you feel like they're there? Or have you ever gone to a location, could be anywhere, place that might be haunted, or maybe a place that isn't, and you feel like someone's watching you, like something's there? Like, that is a very real feeling that a lot of people have. And the next article I found was really interesting on it. You know, if you ever had that sensation, there's a presence in the room, so to speak. When you're totally alone, you may be reluctant to admit it because people kind of think you're crazy, right? You know, if you think you believe in ghosts, but more likely it was something in between the two. You're not crazy, but you might not be totally sane either. One of the largest studies on the topic was carried out by the Society of Psychical Research, okay, published their Census on Hallucinations, a survey of more than 17,000 people, UK, US, and Europe were the sample type. The survey aimed to understand how common it was for people to have seemingly impossible visitations that foretold death or was from a loved one. The SPR concluded that such experiences happened too often to be down to chance, one in every 43 people that were surveyed. You know what? They kind of attributed to a couple of different things. They attributed to, it might be when we're highly susceptible in and out of REM sleep. We might be, that part of your brain might be becoming active for some reason. They kind of put it into as a mind-body connection. Like, as we are waking up and about to fall asleep or feeling very tired, we are at a different level of consciousness and might have something to do with that. But one of the most interesting things they found was a neurological case studies and brain stimulation experiments that presences can be provoked by bodily cues. How did they do that? Well, they were able to, back in 2006, okay, colleagues of, his name was, where's it to? Yes, Dr. Shazar Arzi, he's a neurologist. His colleagues were able to create a shadow figure that was experienced by a woman whose brain was being electrically stimulated in the left temporal junction. What does that mean? They stimulated parts of her brain, and that's what made her feel like there was a presence there. Now, right away, that kind of disproves the idea that ghosts could exist, right? I mean, when you think about it, if your brain is being stimulated somehow and you could feel a presence, would it not make sense that maybe somehow that part of your brain is being stimulated and that's why you think the place is haunted and stuff like that? Like, that's a really interesting thought, right? But here's my deep dive on that. Notice what kind of stimulation it is. It's electrical. They had to zap the brain. So obviously you're not out zapping your brain when you're ghost hunting and all of a sudden you feel like old dead Aunt Ida sitting next to you smoking a cigarette, okay? There's something going on there. And I wonder, Could this be a little clue to the mechanics of disembodied entities? Could this be how they make themselves known? Maybe they are somehow, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, triggering that part of our brain. Because remember, we don't often see them turn off and on a light switch, but they can interfere with electrical currents, it would seem. They talk with K2 meters. They're somehow able to imprint their voices on recorders without any kind of actual sound being recorded. They have the ability to turn off and on lights and flicker them. These are all electrical abilities. Maybe, just maybe, feeling the presence, maybe not so much as a poltergeist type thing, but maybe just an after effect of the haunting itself. Really, really interesting stuff. And I'm so glad I nerded out about all this week. Okay. Let's lighten up a little bit. Let's talk about something. I told you already, Detroit Red Wings are a freaking embarrassment. They're in a playoff spot. They blew it. 7 freaking losses in a row. I'm so mad. But you know what's a bigger loss? 18,000 bobbleheads. 18,000 bobbleheads of NHL legend Jaromír Jágr. You know, this guy is like a franchise guy. He's been a part of all kinds of teams. But, well, this might be the saddest one. This might be the saddest team his little face is on. Fans will have to settle for a voucher for future redemption of Jaromír Jágr bobbleheads after more than 18,000 of the mullet top figurines were stolen during shipment in California, the Pittsburgh Penguins said Thursday. We were shocked to be a victim of cargo theft, and we're working closely local and at federal levels on the investigation. While this unfortunate incident adds to the legend of Jaromír Jágr, who will be in attendance as our guest tonight's game, we look forward to resolving this theft and delivering the prize Jágr bobbleheads to their rightful homes with our fans. The bobbleheads were to be distributed before the Penguins host the San Jose Sharks last Thursday. And Jaromír Jágr got just a wonderful, just an insane amount of accolades as a hockey player. Like, he deserves a bobblehead, man. He's 52 now. He spent 11 seasons with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's the 10-time All-Star, won Stanley Cup. He won the Stanley Cup and with the franchise in 91-92. The hockey legend also spent time with the Washington Capitals, New York Rangers, Philadelphia Flyers, etc. And he just got a storied career. But the thought that someone would rob 18,000 freaking bobbleheads of this guy, like, what are you even doing with all them? You're going to set up in your backyard and, like, conduct a symphony or something? Like, what exactly are you doing? I don't know, man. I don't know. I just thought it was the weirdest story. Like, what do you do with 18,000 bobbleheads? Oh, my. Speaking of heads, here's a calf that recently turned heads. Or I should say two of them. A rare calf with 2 faces, 4 eyes, 2 noses, 2 mouths, and 2 ears continued to flourish Thursday, 8 days after its birth at a Southwest Louisiana farm. Now, these animals are born every now and then as a genetic defect, and they don't last long. This little baby was 9 days old and was drinking from a bottle and has 2 heads. And it's just a marvel of how how our bodies can, so to speak, be, well, deformed or born incorrectly or improperly in utero. And you know, these things were seen by people in the past, like hundreds of years ago, as omens of bad things to come. But we actually now look at them like a medical marvel. Like, they are just incredible how a two-brained animal that came from the same sperm and egg is very viable and still able to exist. It's really, really interesting. And, you know, it kind of lends credence to the idea that every one of us is very, very special. The fact that we're alive and not deformed is a miracle. And that comes from years and years and years of evolutionary theory. At 8 days old, this calf's name was Deux Faces, which is French for two face, is making slow progress under the care of several vets. At the Facebook post about it too, I've seen, she has trouble lifting her head up, but is holding it up more and more as she's getting stronger. She's not standing on her own yet, so she's unable to nurse on her mom. We have been bottle feeding her from the start. The calf is not for sale. It's hailed as a miracle calf, even though it is deformed. It's looked at something that's amazing. And also in this county, a very religious county, it's looked at one of God's precious creations and showing resiliency in the fate close to death. Interesting stuff. Whew. It's a pretty inspirational piece of meat. I mean, all I'm thinking about is how we turn this thing into a hamburger, right? Okay. So apparently I ruffled a few feathers last show. Well, not last show, the show before. the last paranormal news and schmooze. Apparently, I ruffled a few feathers because I had mentioned that a few people weren't very happy with my podcast, saying that it was, quote unquote, a cis white male, blah, blah, blah. And which I thought was just the stupidest thing, because I've had more women and more men and more transgender people and more people of color and more people of just different descents and origins. I've had more on my podcast by de facto than anybody else in Newfoundland. Like, I'm so mad about that. But it also adds to that too liberal agenda, I believe, where everyone can identify as what they want to identify as. There's lines there, right? Like, and people cross these lines all the time. And I don't like that, because you're infringing on our right to speech. I don't mind calling somebody what they want to be called, but you're not going to tell me a banana is a hammer, and you're not going to tell me an airplane is a car. You know, I look at this as too far. We're going too far. And then something comes out that makes you remind, you know, that it's good to have progress, but are we really at the point where people have to be bigots about it? One thing I'm not is a bigot. If you identify as a male, a female, or a banana, I don't care. I'll call you what you want to be called. But I'm not going to call something that is scientifically proven to be something else. Not going to happen. Unless I'm Lana Ferguson and I wrote the book Under the Lock and Key. People are up in arms over the cover of the Paranormal Romance, okay? This book shows a handsome, kilted man rising from the water and kissing a woman's hand from under Loch Ness. His shadow casts an outline of Nessie, traditionally considered female. The Inverness Loch's website refers to her as her, and VisitScotland.com claims she's long and thin. The cover of Under Lock and Key, not out until December, appeared online. It baffled the fans' protests. Isn't the monster supposed to be a girl when it's clearly been pictured as a man? I mean, this guy's got a kilt on and a beard, right? So they're very confused that apparently this animal that apparently can turn into a man is a female. They think Nessie's a female. They always call her girl, okay? It's a Scottish thing, and it's a big part of their culture. So this person puts out a book and depicts this animal as transgender, basically, as a transgender being, transhuman. It goes from Loch Ness monster to actual human, and there's a love affair with somebody on the rocks. So I look at this, and I think, is this really how we want to spend our time when a quarter of our population can't afford to eat? Is this really how we want to spend our time when the richer are getting richer and the poorer are getting poorer? We have a drug problem right now from fentanyl, which is literally turning people into the walking dead. And we're worried about whether or not Nessie, an animal we don't even know exists, has a vagina or not. Guys, I can't even go there. All I'm going to say is, if you're outraged by something like that, do me a favor. See those little earbuds you got in your ears right now to just show you're listening? Do me a favor, will you? Do me a favor. Turn it off. Go listen to somebody else. Go find someone bigoted to listen to. You ain't going to get it here. Anyway, guys, this has been a very interesting, emotional, and strange episode. It has definitely been a schmooze with a little bit of news. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And of course, all these stories are odd to Newfoundland.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.